My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He is now with the American Enterprise Institute. We want to get his thoughts on a number of issues today, ranging from the ongoing debate over the NSA in the United States Congress to his decision not to seek the Republican presidential nomination. And Mr. Ambassador, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me again. Glad to do it.
Big debate just before Memorial Day, where Senator Rand Paul effectively stopped the debate on renewal of certain parts of the Patriot Act. The Senate was back in session this past Sunday. A lot of it was approved again by lawmakers, but some of it wasn't, most notably the collection of bulk data by the NSA. Rand Paul has not only made some adversaries on both sides of the aisle due to his tactics, but also his rhetoric, suggesting that some might even want to see a terrorist attack in this country to just to prove Rand Paul wrong. I know you've been very outspoken, sir, in your defense of the bulk data collection program. So what's your sense on where things stand?
Well, I think the Senate and the House will agree on a modified version of what previously passed the House, the Freedom USA Act. I think that's a very poor substitute for the Patriot Act program, in fact, because so much of it is really left up to whether the telephone companies voluntarily decide to hold on to the data, which, of course, costs them money to do, that I'm very much afraid the program will have been gutted. I wish we could have extended the Patriot Act into a Republican presidency so that we had a rational debate on the subject, but it looks to me like at a time when the threat of international terrorism, unfortunately, is very much on the rise, that we're giving up a intelligence method that does not threaten American privacy, but which can be a powerful tool in sorting out the terrorists. It's just it's a bizarre moment in American politics.
Mr. Ambassador, depending on who you talk to, this program has either helped foil dozens of plots or no plots at all. What is the actual track record of this program?
Well, I think it's a program that helps, along with a lot of other intelligence efforts, in putting together terrorist networks and seeing where they're trying to penetrate into the United States and either hopefully foiling the plots in the first place or helping to find out who perpetrated the attacks if that fails. You know, you hear different voices from different parts of the intelligence community. It's like the classic example of 10 blind men each feeling the different part of an elephant and telling you what kind of an animal it is simply based on what they're looking at. I think the big picture from a policy point of view is that we do believe that the program has helped us in many ways, and you know, we're going to lose a lot of time and a lot of effort that's gone into it. I think this debate has been characterized by demagoguery and misinformation. Very hard to catch up with the truth when some of the opponents of the program are saying things that leave many Americans with the implication NSA is listening to their phone calls or reading their emails. Absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. And yet it's very hard to have a rational discussion when the distortions are so prevalent.
You just alluded to in your last comment, sir, something that I think a lot of conservatives are concerned about. And so a little clarity on this subject, I think, is helpful because for the most part, conservatives are mistrustful of government with their data. And we've seen that with the IRS and some other areas. So what gives you such confidence that this could not be misappropriated somehow?
Well, let's first talk about whose data it is. You know, unless you own a telephone company, if you want to make a phone call, you've got to go through a third party. And the records we're talking about are not your records. They're the telephone company's billing records. I'd like to know if there's any citizen in America who every time they make a phone call writes out the number they're calling, the time of the call, and how long the call took place. They have their secretary do it. They have a family member doing it. Well, I can't believe anybody does that. These records are like bank records, department store records, Amazon.com records, by the way, all of which are routinely sold to other commercial ventures. I think Google and Facebook probably know more about you than the NSA ever will. The telephone records in question cannot be searched individually without a Fourth Amendment compliant judicial warrant, and that comes only after the search of the metadata shows that you're getting an inordinate number of phone calls from a foreign terrorist telephone number. So the potential for abuse here, which we always worry about in government programs, is extraordinarily reduced. And let's not forget that the people at NSA are there to deter and uncover foreign threats. That's what their job is. And they're concerned about Americans. And some people find this hard to believe that the government isn't so interested in what they're doing. The NSA would be interested in your phone only if you've been talking to terrorists. And to search that out further, they need to get a Fourth Amendment compliant warrant.
We're talking with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. And, sir, for quite a while, weeks, even a few months, you've been considering the idea of a run for the presidential nomination. A couple of weeks ago, you went to Iowa and announced, in fact, you were not going to run for the White House. What ultimately tipped the scales in that direction for you?
Well, you know, what's motivated me from the beginning here, really going back to the 2012 election cycle, is getting national security policy back at the center of our political debate. I think too many people in the Republican and Democratic parties don't understand how critical national security is. Barack Obama at the top of that list. And I thought that perhaps running for president would help restore that attention. I think unfortunately, events in the external world have put it back in the center of the debate, and I think it will be one of the very top issues in the 2016 presidential campaign. But in terms of my actually running to make that point, I just think for somebody who's not been elected to a major public office before, it's very hard to start at the top. So for me, it just wasn't feasible to run for president, and I didn't want my personal circumstances to get in the way of what my message, my intention really was, which is to underline the importance of foreign and defense policy. So I'm going to keep at it through my PAC and Super PAC and a foundation I've now set up at the presidential, Senate, and House level to make sure this issue really stays at the center where it belongs for this election.
Mr. Ambassador, as you mentioned, events themselves, even if the candidates don't necessarily naturally go in that direction, national security, international affairs will likely be at the forefront of this campaign. Based on what you've seen and heard from candidates who are either declared or likely to declare, do you have any favorites? I'm guessing Rand Paul's probably not at the top of the list, so who exactly would you be leaning towards at this point?
Well, you know, the list of actual candidates and people think will declare is getting longer every day, but you're right, Rand Paul stays at the bottom of it even as time goes on. You know, I don't at this point contemplate endorsing a particular candidate for the nomination, although I may well do that if events warrant. But what I'm going to try and do is just make sure that the foreign policy and defense policy issues stay at the center of the debate and push all of the prospective Republican candidates really to say more about what their policies are. They've got to be ready on January the 20th, if they're the nominee and successful in the election, to take up these challenges. They've also, before they get there, have to debate Hillary Clinton, who, for all of her failures as Secretary of State, you have to say, knows how to talk the talk. So I think there's a lot of work to be done over the next year and a half, and I hope to remain right at the center of things.
Last topic, sir, and it's the one that you believe is the greatest of all national security threats, and that's a nuclear Iran. Just yesterday, the New York Times reporting, and I'm quoting now, with only 1 month left before a deadline to complete a nuclear deal with Iran, international inspectors have reported that Tehran's stockpile of nuclear fuel increased about 20% over the last 18 months of negotiations, partially, they say, undercutting the Obama administration's contention that the Iranian program had been frozen during that period. How does that change the complexion of this debate as we stand right now, do you think?
Well, I think, number one, it underlines just how feckless the president's policy is with respect to Iran's nuclear weapons program, how dangerous, how flawed this deal that they've been negotiating is turning out to be. I don't think there's any deal that Iran would sign that they would honor. And I think that the administration's efforts are both legitimizing the regime, which is a tragic mistake, given that it's still the world's largest financial supporter of international terrorism, and also legitimizing the nuclear program, which really paves the road for Iran to become a nuclear weapons state at a time of its choosing. This is very dangerous for America and its friends and allies, and I'm afraid the president just doesn't see the problem.
Do you exit question, do you still think the deal is, there's likely to be a deal by the end of the month?
Well, I don't know if it'll be by the end of the month. Secretary Kerry had an unfortunate accident. I think they've still got a lot of difficult issues to resolve. But remember, the president's press people have already said this is his second term signature issue, the equivalent of Obamacare in the first term. He's going to sign a deal, I'm afraid, with Iran, no matter how bad it is.
Mr. Ambassador, we'll have to leave it there. As always, sir, thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thanks again for having me.
You bet. Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.